You're listening to Femfluence Radio, created for women desiring more influence and affluence and are looking for other women who want the same. I'm your host, Jennifer Kemp, but you can call me Jen. I'm a serial entrepreneur and founder who's built 4 multi-million dollar companies. I'm also a mom to 3 amazing humans and a wifey to the self-proclaimed slay-at-home dad. Whoa, that makes me tired just saying out loud. On this show, we'll have the real BS-free conversations that every woman wants to have, but no one's talking about with the honesty we deserve. We'll chat on the intersection of too muchness and not enoughness, what aligned success looks and feels like, and what it takes to dismantle old systems, beliefs, and thinking that get in the way of what we really want. If you're an ambitious woman, looking for a collective that will support you as you grow into the next level leader you and everyone else knows, likes, and trusts, then stick around because you're already home and amongst friends. Now, let's go build longer tables together. Hey, Femfluence fam, welcome back. Okay, so in episode 1, I promised I'd tell you one of the tolerations I've personally had most of my life. And for those of you listening who know me, it actually might surprise you what this toleration is. Because a lot of people give me feedback, and I bet if you're a fellow ambitious woman like me, many people would call you confident or self-assured. And the truth is that I believe we all are dealing with the demon called self-esteem. And the toleration that I've had almost my entire life until not that long ago, in all honesty, is bullying. And not just bullying from other girls and women who weren't my friends, but actually allowing my best friends, my closest friends, to bully me. Yeah. It's not something I've really shared with many people, but it's something that definitely was a huge catalyst for the Femfluence platform. See, I had this program that ran me called the Strong One Program. And what I mean by that is we have over time installed basically apps in the supercomputer called our brains that are old systems that totally need to be deleted. They need to be cleaned out of our cache. And they are affecting our cash flow too. But this one, the Strong One program, the Strong One app, is one that I kept reinstalling because I thought that it would support me. And the truth is, I just kept choosing friends who I actually knew would reject or hurt me. Why? Sounds crazy, right? But the reason I kept doing it is because I held the belief that if I played small, I would be more accepted. I would be more loved. I would be more invited to the party, if you will, because I was always a fish out of water. I grew up in a town of 4,000 or less people. And I was definitely the weird one growing up. I was way too talkative, way too curious, way too thinking big for anything. Also, as I got a little bit older into the preteens, you know, those years, oh my gosh, those are brutal, right? Because I was so different, I was the one that the girls felt really threatened by. And the boys felt that they could harass and tease. And I didn't know how to deal with any of it. I didn't have any tools. I didn't have a mentor who could help me through it. To be honest with you, for that period of my life, between the age of 9 and about 17, my main best friends were Wayne Dyer and Mr. Rogers on PBS after school. And I learned about possibility, and I learned about big thinking, and I learned about how to be neighborly and friendly. And I also grew up in a very Asian household. I'm Filipino, okay? And in a Filipino household,
like most Asian households. You work hard. You don't speak up. You do as your matriarchs and patriarchs tell you to. And for us Filipinos, your greatest accomplishment is either becoming a doctor, nurse, or working for the government, all of which I had no interest in becoming. And I chose because when I looked around me, there was no one like me in my environment. I just so desperately wanted friends to accept me and be around me. And so I allowed, which is fine because you do these things because you have basic needs like acceptance and belonging. We all want acceptance and belonging. We're too, at the age of 9, and when we're teenagers, we're still not understanding how the world completely works, even if we're smart and ambitious, like many of you listening in are. And what's crazy is when you grow up being bullied, that was what I tolerated. I tolerated being bullied. And then I tolerated being bullied into my 20s and even into my 30s, choosing friends and being in environments where it was cool to be the bully. See, by being the mean girl, by being the person that would be accepted by these other people, by these women who didn't want me around if I was way too smart for them, didn't want me around if I wouldn't get involved in some of the shenanigans and drama that they wanted me to get involved with. And here's the thing, I've got seriously all love for those girls and women, because here's the thing, we don't fully know what we're doing if we don't have mentorship, if we don't have guidance. And that's why Femfluence is important to me too. And I think it's important for you listening, because we have an opportunity and a responsibility to help clean that up. Okay. I want to find other women to go from on the surface supporters to non-saboteurs of themselves and other women from rising. And this is what I call the pink slime epidemic. That's the biggest toleration that I believe women in our society and in our system are tolerating. We're perpetuating it. And the Femfluence platform's main goal is to eradicate pink slime. We all have it. It's built into our conscious and subconscious thought. It's one of those apps that's been installed because at the age of 9, it's actually scientifically proven that at the age of 9, girls decide to play into the societal structures called the patriarchy. Now, this show, I tell this from the stages I speak on all the time. I tell people all the time, I am absolutely an intersectional feminist. And I want to be very clear on the intersectional part. I don't believe feminism is feminism without including everyone. In fact, fighting for those that need the stage, that need the platform to build their Femfluence. And one of the things that I know about pink slime is that it was born out of a system called the patriarchy. And I tell people all the time, I'm not against men. I'm for women. I just mentioned to you that two of my virtual mentors were men, Wayne Dyer and Fred Rogers. And I also know that women, we're the reason we don't have completely what we want. We have to take ownership and stand up individually and together to fight this pink slime. Now, why do I call it pink slime? Well, I got it from watching Ghostbusters 2. I don't know. I'm probably aging myself. I tell people all the time, I am not a spring chicken. I am a seasoned chicken. You know, I've been in business for over 25 years. And if you watch Ghostbusters 2, let me give you a little preview. Basically, the Ghostbusters are in New York, and everybody in New York is angry in the movie. They're fighting, they're backstabbing each other. And the Ghostbusters are trying to figure out what's going on here. Why is everybody just hating on each other? And it's because there's this toxic pink slime from extraterrestrials underneath the streets of New York. And this pink slime breaks through the sewage systems and comes up and bubbles up and creates all this havoc in New York City. And I was watching the movie one day on HBO or something, and I was like, that's the stuff. That's the undercurrent that we've installed into ourselves. We're emitting it. We are radiating it. And I'm not saying we're like, oh gosh, you know, everybody's doing it on, you know, to the nth degree. I'm not trying to get dramatic here about it, but the truth is we are radiating pink slime. And it's getting in the way of us trusting each other fully. It's getting in the way of us having conversations that might not be that comfortable around race, diversity, politics, you know, business, the things that it's also getting in the way, and we're making excuses by bypassing those real conversations. And so that's the toleration that I have, or I've had, that I've been working on for a long time. And if you're the type of woman who's felt more comfortable with guy friends rather than girlfriends, this is what we need to overcome. And not because, again, it's guys versus gals, but the truth is, I can honestly say, as somebody who feared other girls and other women because of the way I was bullied growing up, I always felt more comfortable hanging out with the dudes, because the dudes were never as petty or backstabbing or jealous or dramatic. And I wanted, and then when we would talk about who we wanted for my friends, when we talked about who we wanted to be when we grew up, most of them said that they wanted to be something that I wasn't that interested in. In fact, I didn't even know at the time whether I wanted to have children or get married. I did know that I wanted to change the world. And when I joined the world of the corporate space and rose very quickly through the ranks, because I learned early on from a female mentor that the way to gain your way up the food chain in the corporate world is to take on the projects no one wants. And so I grew fast because I took all the crap projects, but it got me noticed and it got me rewarded. And I felt like I had to compete, and with not just the other men, but the women. And I couldn't make any friends at work, even though I thought, gosh, I'm pretty friendly and I'd love to hang out with you. And I just noticed that that was continuing. It was something that kept happening. And instead of being a victim to it, instead of going, oh, woe is me, I really wanted to understand what that was about. And that's in congruence with the fact that I'm a brand strategist and I'm obsessed with why humans behave the way they behave, because that's really what branding is. Companies use branding and marketing as a way to understand the psychology of why people consume anything, whether it's entertainment, whether it's politics, whether it's books, whether it's household goods. My job, my entire career has been to understand the psyche of the buyer. And so the same thing in unpacking my next level of leadership, my want to actually be a great model for my daughters and really heal that 9-year-old Jen who so badly wanted friends and so badly wanted to be understood and so badly wanted to be fully expressed. And that as I grew up, I felt like I had to be cutthroat and in all kinds of ways in order to gain power and money in the corporate world. I wanted that to change. And so I took my femfluence, which is I can smell the money and I can predict trends and understand why things are really happening. Like, what's the real reason? And as I unpacked it, I realized it was this pink slime concept that I coined and that I know, like I know, like I know that we can eradicate it together. Are you with me? Because in the world of femfluence, I believe it's our responsibility to lift up another woman, and that It's our job to open up the playing field for any woman who doesn't have the same privilege or opportunity if they're willing to do the work to get it. In the world of femfluence that we're building, I believe that affluence and influence are 100% possible, and that what that looks like to each of us is a unique and custom path. In the world of femfluence that we're building together, I believe that our 9-year-old selves are begging us to be the women they needed to mentor them back then. So now we have to be willing to be that leader for them and for others and mindfully fight against the structures that bind us from the knowing and make ourselves available for the transformation that we're seeking in our lives. In the world of femfluence, I believe that being honest and vulnerable about our fears is an essential ingredient to eradicating the pink slime we've developed over time to protect ourselves. That's why it's there. It's there to protect ourselves, but we are courageous enough to know that we don't need that pink slime in order to get what we want anymore. As I said, eradicating pink slime in myself has been an ongoing journey. And although I've given it a name and aware of its existence in my own life, it's something that I work on very mindfully. And why does it matter anyway? Well, because I'm seeking the friends that I wanted here. I wanted to build this table and I want you to help me build it to be longer. And I want to teach our daughters and our sons to do the same. And to do that, I need other women with me. So my question to you, friend, is what do you think about pink slime? And are you willing to share yours? Well, guess what? I've given you a worksheet to use to capture your thoughts and get honest about it over at femfluence.com. Now, pink slime is one of my major tolerations, as we talked about in episode 1. And it takes me to how to address those tolerations and turn them into better agreements and make what I call clean decisions on what to focus on. This is how I communicate with my family, my team, and my clients, and one of the ways that I've been able to build a great life in my femfluence. So we're going to be covering that on the next episode. So stay with me and I'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to Femfluence Radio. If you resonated with this episode, please leave us a review and let other women know about it. Remember, we're building longer tables here. Follow us on Instagram at femfluence_official to stay in the conversation, and also visit femfluence.com to sign up and receive things I only give to our listeners and friends. I look forward to our next chat.